were spent right here at Roper Heights Baptist Church. When I think of you, a smile comes across my face. I have a warm spot in my heart for every one of you. I learned to love you, and I'm thankful that just because I'm no longer your pastor, that doesn't mean we can't continue to love each other and fellowship with each other, and I appreciate that. I love our pastor, Brother Jackie. I've learned to love him a lot. And you may look at me and say, "What do you mean our pastor?" Well, my membership's still here too. Amen. So, and I appreciate him. He and Miss Ellen have really learned to love them. But it was real strange. I was telling Brother Jackie, while I was sitting listening to him preach up at Long Cane, he made a reference to a passage in the Bible about where the man had tore his barns down. And the Lord began to speak to my heart there, and it's been working all week, and I want to preach it tonight. So let's go there. Luke 12, I'm going to read verses 13 through 24. Luke 12, 13 through 24. If you've got that scripture, you stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. Luke 12, 13 through 24. And one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" Amen.
Amen.
I want to try to bring a message God laid on my heart that I've entitled "Tearing Down the Barns." Pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in this house this night.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord, for your presence that I feel here.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you, God, for the love that I know and feel among these people.
Lord,
Lord, these folks don't accept Aaron for anything that he may or may not be. They just accept him because they love him.
Thank you,
and I thank you for that, Lord.
Yes.
Now, Father, tonight I pray that you'd just move in this place with your Spirit. God, speak to our hearts. God, convict us over sin in our lives. Lord, if there be those here tonight that are just one that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, let this be the night that they'd be saved.
Yes, Lord.
God, challenge us, I pray tonight, as your people through your word, Lord. And Father, tonight I pray for the anointing afresh and anew. Lord, to do the one thing in life I know you've called me to do, Lord. God, that being to preach this blessed gospel.
Yes,
God, have your way now in everything that's said and done, Lord. And we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated.
Hallelujah.
As we begin to examine this scripture that I've read tonight, some of it I did not read, in verses 1 through 12, you'll find, if you read that, where Jesus was in the process of teaching his disciples and whoever else would receive it. Jesus was teaching. And then we see the story of a man. Don't know who he was. The Bible didn't give his name. Didn't tell you much about him at all. But in verse 13, we see where somebody interrupted Jesus right in the middle of his teaching. The man interrupted him. It's obvious that he wasn't spiritual in nature. It's obvious to me he was a Baptist. You know why? Because he was worried about the money. Say amen, Greg. Amen. Oh, he ain't even in here. I'm insulting him and he ain't even in here. Come on back in here so I can insult you, boy. Just say amen so I can go on with it. I'll sell you the tape after this is over with for $10 so you can hear. He interrupted the teachings of the God of the universe for his selfish motive. He wanted to know about money. He said he wasn't concerned about the things of spirituality, but he interrupted the God of the universe who was teaching, and he says, "Hey, Lord, settle a dispute between me and my brother. Tell him to give me my half of the inheritance."
Yeah.
Boy, that's real spiritual, ain't it? But I believe that it should always be noted, there's always been and always will be those in the religious crowd in churches that are not there and they're not to be in tune with Jesus. They're there for some other motive. They never hear what Jesus has to say.
Amen.
They're only there for one reason and one reason only. That's their petty, selfish motives.
Amen.
The thing that they want. Now, I need to drop anchor there a minute. If you would be amazed. No, maybe you would not, but it's amazing. How many folks will come into a church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and will never get in tune with God?
Amen.
They never hear the things that God is ministering through the Spirit.
Amen.
All they're hearing is how long the preacher preached, what color the carpet is, who got elected president of this, and who's running that in the church. They never get in tune with the spiritual things of God.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something, and I didn't know I was going to preach right here, but this is all right too. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God,
Amen.
And all these other things will be added to you." All of them will come in place. But I'm going to tell you what, I go through churches all throughout this association. There's one thing I know that's true. Every one of them, without exception, everyone, from the biggest to the littlest to the farthest to the nearest, need to have more folks fill in their auditoriums who are in tune with the things of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Now, Jesus sees the moment of the interruption to teach a lesson on selfishness. And he began to expound to them the parable of the barns. Now in the parable, we see where the man's land, it was literally a farm, a huge farm, had brought forth a bountiful crop. Now the man is faced with a decision. Shall he share his good fortune with those who are less fortunate? Or shall he hoard the blessings of God to himself? Now I want you to know tonight, this church, God never intended for you to hoard the blessings that he sends to.
Amen.
You're not a bank. Do you understand that?
Amen.
You're to be a funnel.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all do a pretty good job of that too, so I ain't going to stay on that. But listen, he had to make a decision. Will I share with others or will I just keep it to myself? You know what? He made the wrong decision. He tragically decided to hoard God's blessings to himself. Now we find in that parable no less than 16 times where the man refers to himself and what he will do. He says, "I'll do this, I'll do that. It's mine, it's me, mine, ours. It's all about him." Let me tell you something tonight, boy. I'm about to preach myself happy. The gospel of Jesus Christ has never been about you. It's never been about me. Never will be about us. It's about Calvary and the finished work thereof. Amen.
Amen.
man's land had brought forth a bountiful crop. Let me pause real quick and say this. There's nothing wrong with a man having something in life. There's nothing wrong with having nice things in life. The problem comes when things have you instead of you having things.
Amen.
He got very selfish. He made the decision that he would keep it. But now I want you to notice something very, very carefully. I want you to notice this. As many times as I've preached this passage of Scripture, it never had grabbed me like it did when Brother Jackie mentioned it in the pulpit. He said, verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. What? How does this make sense? Here's a man who's got X amount of barns. I don't know, he might have 20. He might have, I don't know the number. But he's already got those barns. His crop brings forth plentiful. And now he says, I'll tear them barns down and build greater. You know, I ain't the brightest crayon in the box. Somebody say amen to that if you want to. I was born at night, just not last night. But I got to thinking about this. If I'm having a storage problem, the last thing I'm going to do is tear down my existing barns. I might go into an expansion project and build on to them. I might build some more barns in conjunction with them, but I'm not going to tear down what I've already got.
Amen.
Does it make sense to you? It didn't to me. But then I began to study over that thing. Then it began to hit me. The Lord began to speak to me. And I want you to get something on this. The nature of the man determines the type barn which he stores his crop in. Let me say that again. My nature and your nature will determine what kind of a barn we will use to store our crops in. And I'm going to tell you something. A sinful man doesn't store his crops in the barns of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. It just don't work that way. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. All in water does not mix. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Let me tell you tonight, when you get on God's side, you'll no longer store your fruits in the dives and the hell holes of this world, but you'll have God's barns to put them in. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. You see, the old boy couldn't store his crops in those barns because he was a wicked man. He was a sinful man. His nature was revealed when he said, I'll keep it all to me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm probably getting way ahead of myself. But when you get right with God, you can't be selfish and be right with God. My Bible teaches me over in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He didn't take. He didn't hoard out. But he had, woo, his love gives.
Amen.
You can't be right with God and hoard God's blessings in your life. Let me tell you something. Let's go on preaching ground. Y'all in a building project down here. You don't have no right not to be in one. God's blessed you. He's blessing you with the people. He's blessing you with the talent. He's blessing you with the means. And you do not have the right to sit down and say, we ain't going to do it. You have an obligation to give as God has given unto you. Lord, have mercy. This may not be doing anything for y'all, but it's helping me. Amen. Listen, your nature will determine what kind of barn you're storing your fruit in. Listen, when we say that You ever heard somebody say this about somebody? Oh, they just sowing their wild oats. We better remember them oats have a way of producing a crop. And when we decide that we want to store or keep the fruits of that crop, we cannot store it in the barns of righteousness. We got to tear them down. You see, the devil understands this. Are you going with me on this? When the devil takes me or you and gets us out of that world sowing our wild oats, he knows we're going to have to tear some barns down to be able to build some more to store the fruit of sin. Now, the devil wants to destroy the old landmarks in our lives. Oh, are you getting this? The devil wants to tear your barns down. He wants to tear mine down. Proverbs 22:28 though said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. I want you to get this and get it good. There's some landmarks, there's some barns that you don't have any right to tear down. God set them there and you better leave them there because it belongs to God. Woo! Jeremiah 6:16-8 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Yes. For many years we Americans have sown our wild oats. In my lifetime, I've seen everything turned upside down and inside out. What used to be abhorrent, and indecent and immoral and sinful, we now consider to be the norm. Amen. What used to be good, holy, and righteous is now scoffed at and called old-fashioned. But I got some news for you tonight. Galatians 6:7-8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but that he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Woo! As we have gathered our crops of sin, many barns have been destroyed. Many barns in America have been torn down because we have sown to the world and are reaping the whirlwind. I'm going to tell you something. Light and dark don't abide together. Sin and righteousness can't abide together. Well, listen, no man can serve two masters. We'll either love one and hate the other, or love this one and hate that one. Something is going to rule my life or your life. It'll either be light or darkness, but it cannot be both. Hallelujah. I want you to know something tonight. The barn of morality has been torn down in America. We got folks looking and walking around, and I got eyes. I can see. We got some cheese that look like hymns, and some hymns that looks like cheese, and some you can't figure out whether it's a she or a him, so it must be a shim. Amen. Don't know I'm telling the truth. I tell you what, I see more than I want to see. I hear more than I want to hear. I want to tell some folks, just keep it to yourself. Morality. We've torn that barn down. Amen. Oh, you see, you can't be right with God and be immoral. Oh, somebody ought to jump on that and say, amen. You can't live an immoral life and be right with God. You may come to church. You may play the game. But you know what's in your heart, and God knows what's in your heart, and you either are for Him or you're against Him. Oh, Brother Aaron, I'm just straddling the fence. Honey, there ain't no fence. Calvary tore the fence down. Woo! Glory. Is you is or is you ain't? Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. The barn of manners has been destroyed. Torn down.
Y'all know this is one of my pet peeves. You listen to me for 10 years, you know this is one of my pet peeves. Little kids would come up to grown folks and say, yeah, no. Call you by your first name. Makes me want to backhand them. Makes me want to give their parents a whooping for raising them that way. Hello, amen. I'm telling you, folks, we're living in a day and age when the barn of manners has been torn down. The barn of discipline has been destroyed. Because you see, you can't live for God and not have discipline. Anything that doesn't have discipline has chaos. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of discipline and of honor. And these big old idiots that believe that some big bang happened, and it's just, I like what that fellow said, I forget who he preached down here, and said the chances of the big bang theory happening are about equivalent to a tornado going through a junkyard and a 747 fully assembled being the end product of it. Ain't that the truth? I'm telling you, the barn of discipline has been destroyed. Children today will tell the parents what the parents are going to do and what they're not going to do. You know, some parents need to call and check in with the kids to get permission to do what they're going to do. Hello. Some children don't set their parents on a curfew. Oh, help me a little bit here. We have torn down the barn of discipline. Oh, God wouldn't discipline us. You better read it again. My Bible says if he's not disciplining you, I'll be polite and I'll say that you're an illegitimate child. That's not what the Bible says. But you'll be an illegitimate child. You're none of his because he chastens or disciplines the ones he loves.
Amen.
Amen. I have been on the wrong end of God's hickory stick. It don't feel good.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we got rid of discipline. And not till we get it back are we going to be right with God. The barn of shame is gone.
Yeah.
You know what? It used to be a disgrace for a woman to get pregnant outside of marriage. No shame to that anymore. Used to be a shame for folks to get divorced. There used to be a stigmatism that went with that. No shame to that anymore.
Amen.
Help me a little bit now. You see, we've got rid of those barns. Why? Because the crop that's coming in, it won't stay in them kind of barns. That tears them down. Get rid of them. Build some more. Tell us it'll be all right, preacher. Don't preach that sin is sin. Don't preach on hell, preacher. We don't tear that barn down. Don't preach, preacher, that I got to be in church. Don't preach regular attendance or Sunday school. And oh Lord, preacher, don't preach on tithes. We've torn those barns down. Hey, we may have, but God hasn't. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Man, if I wasn't saved right now, I'd get saved. Amen. We've torn the barn of the family down. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, you see this crop that's coming in now, it can't stand the family. Got to tear that barn down. And I'm going to tell you what. I've said this tongue in cheek, but it's really true. When I marry folks today, when Brother Jackie does or any of these other preachers, we probably really ought to change the wedding vows because they don't mean what they're telling you to begin with. It used to be for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. And now it's come. I promise to do it until the first time you make me mad, and then I'm out of here. Well, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. You should have thought about that before you said I do. And if you don't say you do. And if you did, live up to it. We got too many lily-livered wimps whipping out on the relationships.
Amen.
But she made me mad. Well, do you think you're the only one that's ever been made mad by a wife? Every man in here's been mad. I wanted to kill mine a time or two. And I made my mind up just as soon as she let me go, I was going to do it. anybody in particular. I've been called a million times. Y'all waiting on me to preach this the other way around, ain't you? Can't go the other way around. She married perfection. Woo! Now I'm going to tell you something. If every time she had got upset with me or I'd done something she didn't like, she'd have been gone a long time ago. But I got a news flash for you. When we stood before that preacher and said, "I do," guess what? We meant it. Yeah. Amen. My wife asked me here, "Why, right, Jackie, we had our 25th wedding anniversary a couple of years ago. I had it right here." She says, "Are you going to repeat the vows again?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." She looked at me. She said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I met them the first time, and I hadn't changed my mind." Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! But I'm going to tell you what. We've let the barn of the family be torn down. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. We need to get back to the basics of this thing. We need godly men. Hello. Amen. Godly men. Men who are in love with Jesus. Amen. I got news for you tonight. Real men love Jesus. Amen. Woo! Amen. Unapologetically. You quoted it this morning, you told me, but I'm going to quote it again tonight. Real men say, "As for me and my house, me first. Me first. I'm going to get my relationship right with God first. I ain't going to work on my wife till I got me right, Jackie. I ain't going to fuss at my kids about the way they're living until I'm not living that way. Woo! As for me and then my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Oh, hallelujah. I ain't going to finish this. Y'all have to come over to Flat Jones next week sometime. A week after next. To hear the bend of this. But I told my kids, as long as you put your feet under my table, eat my groceries, suck up my air conditioning in the summer, my heat in the winter, you're going to do what I tell you to do.
Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah. Amen. What a foolish little rule. I've shared this before. Jonathan got off to college. He'd been there for about a half a year. We had this rule. Had to call on Thursday night to let us know if he's coming home or not. Then he had to call on Sunday night to either let us know he made it through the weekend or he made it back, whichever the case was. He called one Thursday. He said, "Daddy, I'm coming home this weekend." And I'd already noticed week before, Jackie's hair getting a little longer than I liked it. And I said, "Well, good, you can get your hair cut while you're here." "Oh, Daddy, I'm not going to get a haircut." I said, "Say what?" He said, "Daddy, I'm 19 years old. He said, "I'm off up here in college." He said, "I think I'm old enough to make my own decisions of what I want to do." I said, "Well, you're probably right. You probably are." I said, "You can make your own decisions of what you want to do." I said, "But I want you to understand, with decisions come consequences. Now, you're old enough to decide whether you want to get your hair cut or not. But when you make the decision you're not going to get it cut, then I assume you're also making the decision that you're going to start paying your college tuition, your car payment, your insurance payment, and everything else." "Well, Daddy, I can't do that." I said, "You better get your hair cut then." Woo! Don't fool with an old bald-headed fat man. He holds more trump cards than children do. I'm like the girl on fried green tomatoes. I had more insurance. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. We've let this barn of the family get torn down. We need to get back some basics. A godly man. Living for God. Married to a godly woman. Ladies, I need to stay on y'all a little while too, don't I? It ain't just the man's fault. It's not just the man's responsibility. You got your half of that plow to pull too. It's a godly man and a godly woman together raising their children for the Lord. And honey, at best, It's going to be all you can do to get them raised. We need to get back to that. The barn of moral absolutes has been torn down. You see, this crop we got coming in today says there are no moral absolutes. Nothing's either totally right or totally wrong. Let me remind you something. Go over in the Old Testament and read the Ten Commandments. And let me remind you that they are not the Ten Suggestions. They are the Ten Commandments. And let me ask you also, what part of thou shalt not didn't you understand? It's a moral absolute. Well, I need 20 more minutes there. I'm going to cover one more and probably try to bring it in for a landing. We've torn down in too many places, Jackie, the barn of old-fashioned religion. And that's what's got us in the trouble we're in. We've replaced it with this doctrine of being seeker sensitive and giving the seeker a little dose of church when they come in, or a little dose of feel better, and this feel good psychology instead of giving them a heaping helping of the Word of God. We got too many preachers. It's got noodles for backbones. And men in the church, it won't be a man unless a wife tells him it can be. Hello? Hey, fellas, let's put the blame where it goes. We need to stand back up and demand this thing of old-fashioned religion again. You know what? You know what? I preached through my introduction. I ain't getting to the points I got, brother. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with some old-time religion. There's nothing wrong with some preaching, praying, singing, and shouting in the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you what. God help us. God help us, but we've come to a point in time where we've got everything programmed, everything scheduled. This has got to happen at that time. So-and-so's got to pray at that time. So-and-so's got to sing at this time. The preacher's got to preach at this time. And we've got it all in a nice, neat little box. And guess what? Sometimes God don't get in the box. Woo! Hallelujah! We need to go with whatever God's given us. We need to quit tearing the barns down and identify the barns that God has given us and say, let me expand on them a little bit. Don't tear them down. Enlarge them. Build some more just like them. Don't tear them down. Quit tearing them down. Because when we're tearing them down, whoo, hallelujah. We're saying, God, I prefer the fruits of sin. I prefer an ungodly lifestyle, Lord, more than I prefer you and what you've given me. You know what's nice about getting old? Nothing. Just thought I'd throw that in there. You know what? What don't hurt don't work. Amen. I got folks that hear me on the radio and they'll come up and say, I thought you was a little old man. They missed a little old and they ain't right on the old yet, but it's getting there. But you know what's wrong? You know what's right or good about being in the ministry a long time? It affords you the opportunity sometimes to just stop and look back. Now, you don't camp there. You don't do it to get discouraged, but you look at some of the blessings that God has given you. You know what? I'm proud to be able to tell you tonight, and you, some of you, if you don't hear me right, you'll think I'm bragging, and I'm not. I'm just bragging on God. But I'm glad as I look back in my life, there's still barns standing that was there when God began to give the increase. Sin hadn't torn them down. I'm still saved tonight, folks. Amen. I'm just as saved tonight as I was 30 years ago when I got saved. Woo, ain't been lost one day in between.
Amen.
I've been hard-headed and got whooped a lot by God, but ain't been lost. That barn's still standing.
Amen.
You know what? I'm still married to my sweetheart. I looked at that lady. Some of y'all don't know this, but I looked at that lady the first time I saw her. Asked my best friend. I said, "Who is she? I'm going to get a date with her." Hey, I fell in love with her when I first saw her. She did me too. Amen. One look and a $5,000 bribe got her to the altar. Amen. That was my first lesson to her. Never trust a lying preacher. Man. No, I wasn't a preacher when we got married. But you know what? I can look back, folks. That barn is still standing.
Amen.
Oh, it's been through some storms. Oh, big giant pieces of hail have hit it. And you can take that either spelling you want it, H-A-I-L or H-E-L-L. Either way, it don't matter. Either way it'll work. It's been hit, but it stood. You know what? I look back, Jackie. You know, I'm still excited about serving Jesus. I'm just as excited tonight about serving the Lord as I was when it started.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah! I still shout!
Glory!
Oh, did the Troop County Baptists ever get a joke played on them? Y'all see some of them when I blow in. It's amazing. If they're good folks, they're good folks. But you know what? I'm still excited about Jesus. That
Amen.
Barn's still there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The love of God is still real in my life. Now, I want to challenge you something. I'm just about through. But I want to challenge you. Are you with me? God's been good to you. God's been good to me. Are you listening to me? Your crop has come in bountifully. You married folks. Boy, this thing getting deep. You married folks. Still just a quick look at the one God gave you. God's blessed you. God's blessed you to have a wife like that, sir. Ma'am, God's blessed you to have a husband like that. You got children. Some of them are in this place. Some of them may not. They're in this place. Just steal a quick look at them. God has blessed you. He's blessed you. They're not in this place. Just think of them in your mind. Your crop has come in bountifully. God has blessed you. Got a wonderful home you're going to go to when you leave here tonight. You won't sleep out in this cold. You won't go to bed hungry. God has blessed you. Now I want to ask you something. What's the condition of your barns? Have you torn them down? Oh, preacher, we got marriage problems. Well, bless your heart. You tore the barn down. What do you expect? Oh, preacher, we got financial problems. You tore the barn down. You have nowhere to receive what God has given you. Are you getting this? Oh, preacher, we've got church problems tonight. You tore the barn down. Tonight, I want to ask you to do something. Why don't you ask God to rebuild the correct barn?
Amen. Amen.
Why don't you ask God to restore things? Why don't you call a truce? Why don't you lay your weapons down? Why don't you quit fighting? Say, God, I can't fix this. I tore it up, God. God, I can't fix it. And if it don't get fixed, Lord, it just won't get fixed, or I can't fix it. But if it's going to be fixed, you're going to have to fix it, God. But let me give you some good news. God just gave this to me just right now. Your barn may be in disrepair, but I know a carpenter.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! I know a carpenter who can relay the foundation. You know why? Because he is the foundation. Woo! He can have a barn raising in your life tonight if you will let him. I've preached what God put on my heart. I'm going to leave here tonight just glorifying God.
Amen.
But I've backed the old dump truck up. I've pulled a lever. I've let the rock slide. They've hit where they've hit.
Amen.
They've hit you. God threw it at you. I didn't. And I'm leaving with an empty load. Oh, I know where the filling station is, though. But anyway, it's up to you tonight to do with what God has sent this way. I love every one of you in this building tonight. Thank you for being here. Would you let me pray with you? Heads bowed across the building. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage all of you to do something. I want you just to take a moment and just look around you and take a mental snapshot of what you're seeing tonight. And hang on to it, because precious and few are the moments like this. Precious and few times when the Lord passes by like he has this week. You obey God tonight. Obey God. It's been a long time since I felt the Spirit of God quite like I have tonight and this week. Folks look at me and say, "You're a big old man. 6'5", 265 pounds of lean, mean preaching machine." Folks look at this big old fella and say, "Man, you must be a wimp or something, standing up there squalling like that." I'm going to tell you, I've learned something. Real men shed tears for Jesus. I love him tonight. I love him with all my heart. I have no other way to turn but to him. I'll make you a promise tonight. Some of you I'll probably never see again in this walk of life. You'll go your way. I'll go mine. Our paths may never cross again. But I've got a promise to give you tonight. You know Jesus is your Savior. I'll see you again. Because I'm going to the same place you're going. I got the same ticket you got.
Oh, I was sharing with Brother Herman today, or he was sharing with me. He said, tonight's my night. He began to tell me how that several years ago, I guess it was probably on the last night of a revival, or maybe this is the anniversary date, I don't know. But he knelt out there with Brother Bobby in front of the sign and gave his heart and life to Jesus. You know, Brother Herman, I didn't get my ticket at the same place you got yours. I got mine down on Hanley Street at Bethel Chapel Baptist Church. But guess what? We got the same ticket. Going to the same place. God's good tonight, brother. And close it however you want to. Say a word.